Okay, cool.
Here with Jake GTV, author, and I think most known for you make these news videos, which are phenomenal. They add humor, but everything that's real in them is covering the real news. They're brilliant. I've wondered the process of making these. Everyone look up Jake GTV, and you're on like lots of platforms.
Yeah,
right?
I'm on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. You could pretty much find me anywhere. YouTube would be my platform that I want people to check out. So just look up Jake GTV. But yeah. On top of the AI news stuff, I've been making like documentaries. I had an interview with this woman who survived a satanic cult.
I actually watched that. You sent me that. I forget exactly how we got in touch, but no, we've been talking for a while. First seen your videos, and I thought they were brilliant, so I'm glad to have you.
Thank you, man.
Like last week, I was watching it being like, what is the process to make this? Because it's so well done, so many little details. It seemed like it's got to take a lot of time to make one of those. Even with the help of AI, you're still writing the script, making the characters.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't write the script right off the bat. I basically just have the basic talking points that I want to get off. So a lot of this is researching. Like whether that's, and I'll jump from week to week. I'll have like, you know, 1 week I'll be focusing on Venezuela and him kidnapping Maduro. And then the next week I'll be focusing on ICE and what they're doing and all of the orchestrated chaos that they're putting out. And a huge part of this is disseminating the left-right narrative so that you can understand, okay, well, if you present it this way, the right's going to fight you on this. If you present it from the left side, then the left's going to just jump at your throat. So it's basically just getting everybody's opinion so that I can put that out correctly so that there's not one side to this.
Yeah, you even have the news broadcast where they interview a bunch of people and you show all the dumbed down opinions. And
yeah, it's just, so it's basically like South Park kind of type of thing where I have like recurring characters and
real news, but satire where you have to laugh. Like we were watching a video breaking down this. We were laughing at the most terrible things, but you need to laugh at this stuff sometimes. It's like, you do need to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's
basically just presenting the facts in a way that's like, even though it's really dark, we do have to kind of like be able to make fun of it because the fact that they are raping and torturing children is not something that's funny, but it's kind of funny the fact that we can even ignore that.
Yeah.
So let's laugh at the normies who are basically looking at this.
And you also, hopefully this could reach the normies, I think, because they're not going to go spend weeks going through the Epstein files, like we were talking about. Like it can be demoralizing when you stay up all night going through the Epstein files. And like we were talking about, we both have obsessive personalities. Like you say, you stay up all night sometimes working on video because you can't stop.
I mean, how can I sleep when I know that they're doing these wild things to subvert our government, subvert our people, and doing all these things to just go against us and the goyim? And then you see the way that they talk about us and how they're just adding zero value to our country. And how am I going to present this to the average person who's watching Fox and CNN and they just don't understand? Yeah. They're fighting the other side when they're not looking at the puppet masters pulling the strings.
Yeah. You nailed it right there. You perfectly nailed the left, right divide, the goy slop, how they're just so like brainwashed.
Right. Yeah.
So what is the process? You get the idea first, you research.
Right. So,
and you get clips, start putting those together and start writing the script around that.
Exactly. So I start off, I generate Chloe and Michael. They're the first two reporters. Mm-hmm. And I basically get like, what is the topic we're going to talk about? And I'll give you some of my secrets because I don't gatekeep this stuff. I've been editing since I was 12 years old.
People will make great content like making, you know?
Feel free. You know, I'd love to teach this. And I do. So I do one-to-one consultations teaching people my whole process. And it's like, good luck.
No, I'd love that. Be like, I'd love to make a video like that. But right now, I'm too busy with other shit realistically to attempt. I know how hard that would be to make something like that. That's what I was thinking. Like, damn, this has to be hard. This is so well done.
So each clip I generate maybe like 20 to 40 clips before I'm like, oh, that was the one. I want to make sure that they're saying everything with the correct inflection that hits because, you know, it's difficult when they're saying different things or just in a different way. You got to make sure that they say it in a correct way that'll make people laugh.
Yeah, because you want people to laugh but also wake them up.
Correct. And then I put in the background different monitors. Mm-hmm. And then so I use a different AI program to basically generate the prominent people like – say Trump and Netanyahu, and we'll have like Netanyahu like patting him on the head and like throwing money at him.
Yeah, right.
Or like Tel Aviv Ted, he'll be, you know, getting a pat on the head, you know.
Yeah.
Different things like that. And then basically I gather the information. It takes me about 3 hours per minute. And so, you know, a 10 minute video will take me anywhere.
This has to take like multiple days of hard work.
Oh yeah, it's like a 60-hour work week to make one. So
that sounds about what I was thinking. Like, yeah, because it's you're making real art right there.
Right.
Not much art and filmmaking anymore. Most of it's just garbage.
Yeah, yeah, and most of the AI stuff that you see out there is very like low effort. Like somebody just generated a prompt and let it
help
out.
You, but it's like.
Yeah,
you have to write the script. They're not going to have things as funny, characters as funny.
Right.
Name some of your news anchors. You have brilliant news anchors.
Okay, so I've got Ching Chong. That's everybody's favorite reporter.
Everyone loves Ching Chong.
She's the main field reporter, so we'll send her off to Iran, and we'll take the actual frame of like the picture in Iran of the bombed sites, and I'll AI dub her in. So the sites that she's in are actual places.
Nice.
These aren't just like all generated fake ideas of me just writing like, oh, in a desert that looks like Iran. No, these are the actual locations. Like in Iran when Trump bombed the school children with the tomahawks.
Oh, that pisses me off.
It pisses me off too. And you know, you see the backpacks in the rubble of these the children's schools.
That was their first strike. Do you think that was like a human sacrifice? Or what was their reasoning for hitting an all-girls school as their first strike? Well, it seemed like it had to be intentional.
I do think all of this is intentional. They want Iran to retaliate to basically be able to destroy the Third Temple, which ultimately everything that you're seeing, all of this chaos that they're creating, him saying we're going to bomb civilian bridges, we're going to bomb all of them. Like imagine if a country came and bombed us, our entire country would be saying, let's go do something.
It's clearly terrorism.
It's clearly terrorism.
It's like language is not terrorism. And actually, I want to talk to the Third Temple about you. Let's finish up how the process of making these videos and let's dive into the Third Temple.
Yeah, so basically I put them all together and then at the end I add like silly commercials and stuff like that.
You have Shapiro-Steen.
We got Shapiro-Steen. There's one, so Shapiro-Steen hired this one girl, Daisy, and she's the one who does the Only Freaks, and she always comes out with the huge milkers.
Yeah.
And she's basically the second, like, Jewish person inside of the episode.
A couple of them are, like, wearing little stars of Daisy.
Right.
Reporters all, like, just their fake smiles.
Yeah.
And then catch the way these reporters actually
exactly.
are.
And then when they say, like, a fact that's too true, like, oh, why were the weapons of mass destruction? Why did they not even exist? Then Producer Berg, he's the one who basically runs the show.
Yeah.
He actually doesn't. I do. But he knows
really
that,
Jake.
You know. That's why, you know, the anchors come on afterwards and they just laugh at him like, oh, this guy is so cranky. So, yeah, there's those characters. And
who's the guy that does the interviews?
His name. We call him Tom.
Good old Tom.
And he's the guy who just goes up to all the different normies asking them like, oh, what do you think of the Iran war? And then the people will come out and be like,
give the retarded
opinions. Be like, oh, that's a Democratic hoax. Or what about the Epstein files? They're like, oh, that was definitely Russia. I saw it on Goyflix. Which Goyflix is like Netflix. So I've got all these terms to basically like nicknames. And one of the reasons I did that in the first place is because they don't allow you in my AI generation program to say Donald Trump.
Wow.
So instead, I call him Trumpstein.
You can't say Donald Trump.
You can't
Trump.
Say Donald Trump. No. There's
Trumpstein's a very accurate name for him. Trumpstein.
It is.
Trumpberg.
Yeah. Yeah. Trumpstein, Trumpenstein, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So. Basically, I gave all these characters, like Shapiro-Steen, you can't say the word Ben Shapiro.
Really?
They'll say, no, that's a prominent name.
He's one of my least favorite, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I had to throw Shapiro in there because every time you hear Shapiro speak, he's always trying to subvert people, trying to tell them, like, the exact Zionist narrative.
We did a breakdown one of your videos last night, and there was this part where he goes, there are no Epstein files. That's right.
Yes,
you heard it.
Yes.
There are. That was right before they got dropped.
He
was trying to subvert the people to believe there were no Epstein files.
Exactly.
It's insane. And like, you take these clips and you perfectly mix them in this new segment.
Exactly. So 60% of the stuff that I post, real clips.
Yeah, I didn't realize it. I thought most was real, but I didn't realize it at all. Because you put some things in there, like where the Israel account put, like, what's the age? What do they write?
Oh, yeah. Age is just a number.
I thought that wasn't real.
No. No. Like, all of the little factoids that I add to it.
There's another one that was crazy yesterday. I can't remember what it was. Oh, damn, I can't think of what it was right now.
Maybe something that was in the Epstein files, and they were like,
it all seems too true. Yeah, not true.
It seems, like, too fake to be true, but it's like, that's the problem where we have 6 corporations that run 90% of our media, and all of them happen to be
Steensburg.
Large significance of Jewish power behind all of this.
And they'll call it anti-Semitic, or they might even remove a video or give you a strike for pointing out facts.
Exactly.
You know, I've had strikes for factually pointing out things. Like I did a Talmud breakdown. Everything that was in it, they took the episode down and gave me a strike.
Right. And what does that tell you? And who owns the media? And
YouTube is owned by... Instagram is owned. Yeah. Facebook, TikTok.
Yes. Larry Ellison owns TikTok now. Basically, you can't even put a juice box emoji anymore. They were sick of us putting juice box emojis. Yeah.
They're making it just so obvious. So why did you start making these videos, and what were you doing before? You seem like a really intelligent guy for you to be like, hey, I'm going to do this, what they call career ending.
Yeah, move. Well, when I first started using the program, I just started creating like 30-second to a minute videos, and slowly but surely it started turning into full episodes, and I just built a fan base very quickly off of this because they were like, holy shit, nobody's so ever good, said this in such a professional way. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I could report on all this, which I have been talking about this for years, but what people really listen to is status. And that's why, you know, the news anchors and our media, they say things with such a professional voice, and this is happening, and people
this
are
is what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the boomers are all watching this, and, you know, every generation that watches the news, and they come off as these professionals who are in these like nice establishments where it's like, I'm just podcasting from my room.
Yeah.
You know, like how much can people listen to me?
They're all filthy liars.
Right. And so since I was a kid, I've always wanted to be like a director. I started making YouTube videos when I was 12 years old. I had this one video went viral, like 1.4 million views of me and my buddy just like lip syncing to stuff. And so it was stupid stuff.
Yeah.
But
something you've wanted to do forever and you finally.
Right. But even
also,
as a kid.
Also, the message obviously was really important.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure a lot of people probably told you not to do this, right?
Oh, absolutely. So many people are like, how is he not canceled? And I was asking the same thing. So, and I have been canceled. So for my old YouTube, I got deleted because I was talking about the COVID-19 vaccines. I was showing the people who were dying suddenly. There was that nurse who got the injection and then she fell.
Yeah.
So it was like I was talking about these things and I was talking about the white fibrous structures. Have you heard about those?
No.
You haven't.
What is
yeah,
that?
So basically all of the morticians were finding these white fibrous structures. So the morticians,
I have seen a
they embalm
of that. Yeah.
bodies, right?
Yeah.
And so when they were trying to embalm the bodies, they were noticing for the first time these morticians were there for over 40 years in this profession. They were like, this is the first time we can't embalm the bodies. There's literally these like calamari-like structures
that are something on
blocking
that.
The blood from us being able to embalm it.
Didn't and Stu so Peters produce something
Stu Peters
on that?
Did an amazing documentary.
I saw that.
I'd been watching him.
Before I even knew Stu or who he was when it first came out.
Same. That was like the first I had heard of him. And the journalism on that was just incredible because these morticians were and basically just trying to expose this, but they were being considered like, oh, you're not a scientist. Yeah. You're not a doctor.
You're not an expert. How would you know? That's what
but there's
during
physical
COVID,
evidence.
I started just looking at it, going through studies. I retired from fighting and everyone just started being, you're not a doctor. You can't look at this. Like,
right.
Why do I need to be a doctor to like look at a basic study? I'm not a moron.
Yeah.
I realize most people are morons, including most doctors.
Right.
I had a couple of doctor friends I'd bring this stuff to.
Right.
Two of them stopped being one of my friends. Two of them stopped being my friends. One of them apologized and said I was right, surprisingly, because I was trying to help him this stuff. He came back to me and goes, man, you were really right with all the shit you're bringing to me. The other two just stopped being my friend.
Oh, 100%. And that's the problem is when they've gone to medical school, they have this sense of superiority where it's like, oh, nobody else can speak about this. I'm the person who understands health better than anybody.
They also teach them to only listen to the experts above them. That's what I noticed. Well, Fauci says.
It's
like, no, I'm not asking Fauci. I'm asking you to go look through this study and tell me what you make of it.
Exactly.
And
so they,
realized,
they
oh,
defer
people
to
can't
experts.
Do that.
No.
They're not good at critical thinking. Or maybe they can. They're just too arrogant to think they need to.
And when they do critically think, it pushes them to have to go against what the board of advisory is saying.
And
exactly. And if they go against the board of advisory, it puts them at risk for losing their jobs.
Yeah,
if
crazy.
They try and push alternative medicines, like then they're going against the board. They could lose their insurance money. And you see what with the pediatricians that like if they vaccinate at least 80 to 90%, then Blue Shield will basically give them a large.
So they try to push you to get your children.
So it's financial incentive.
You know? So you could sometimes recommend parents switch pediatricians if they're trying to push it.
Right.
So they're financially.
Exactly.
They get. I think they get big bonuses too if they hit these marks.
Yeah, and if that's not blackmail, I don't know what is. Like, if you literally
you don't
can't
get money if you don't do it. It's like,
so they scare people and they tell them like, oh, you're not going to vaccinate your child, they're going to die. Well, it's like, no, actually, they're not going to die.
But this guy,
you're
going to
actually just lose some money.
Exactly. He's and not so, get that $100,000 check.
Right. So this all started for me with health. I was learning about cholesterol and how like how it's been demonized and how they're pushing climate change and Bill Gates is owning up all the farmland and they're pushing this corn, soy, and wheat and it's filled with pesticides. And you look up in the sky and you see these solar geoengineering trails. But if you say the word chemtrails, well, you're a conspiracy
theorist.
It's like, I don't know. To me, it seems like you don't have to be that smart to see that there's something going on and there's something wrong. And you could see it in the evidence. There's aluminum in our soil. There's in the bees.
Are these vaccines too? The aluminum?
Absolutely. Aluminum. There's formaldehyde. There's this like potassium sorbate. There's all these different like things that are in it, these adjuvants that basically are just terrible for the body. And it creates an immune response. And so a lot of times they don't even have like in a flu shot, they don't even have like the actual influenza or like they tell you it's always a small piece of what the disease is or the illness. But really what's happening is they're just causing an immune response to the body and they're saying, oh, that's how we stimulate your immune system. And so just seeing how doctors have lied and then becoming a health coach, understanding nutrition and trying to battle against doctors. Yeah. One of the first times I got banned on TikTok was I was talking about seed oils and I was talking about polyunsaturated fatty acids. And there was this one dude, Dr. Ids from Israel, who basically – I made a video talking about how polyunsaturated fatty acids are not good for you. And the studies that they're doing are actually done in Sweden where they don't have glyphosate. And they were doing these studies on like walnuts and mackerel and salmon where these are good
omega-6s.
Totally
different. Yeah, that's
– And then they use these studies to basically say, oh, everybody should be having seed oils in their diet.
But that's based off real walnut. It's just totally different. People don't understand between if you're getting real processed food versus these unprocessed foods, they're not the same.
And so that was one of my first smear campaigns. And he ended up sending all of his bots. And I was like, these are bots. These are all like all
you
these people have
the
same
writing,
weird profile pictures with zero posts. They were just created like a day ago. And I'm getting flooded with hundreds of comments saying, you got owned by Dr. Ids. You got owned by Dr. Ids.
Well, if they trust the science, who's funding the science?
Exactly.
That's what we need
this
to look
dude's
into.
In Israel. And who funds the pharmaceutical industries? Yeah. Jews.
Did you see that? This guy, what's his name? Chris Woods. He has that brilliant where he goes into a meeting and he grabs the – he starts reading off all the people involved in COVID. And it was blah, blah, blah. Jew.
Yep.
A Jew.
Yes.
I actually talked to him on the phone. I think I'm going to have him on the podcast because he kind of disappeared after that. That's one of the most legendary clips ever.
What's his name?
Chris Woods.
Chris Woods. Absolute legend.
I talked to him on the phone a couple times. I'm going to bring him on.
Yeah, Chris is a beast.
Such a humble guy. You know, he's like, oh, I don't think it'd be worthy of coming on your show. I'm like, bro, that's like the most legendary clip I've ever seen. That helped wake me up.
Right. Actually,
a lot of people.
Yeah, one of the most like popular edits of that I made on one of my YouTube videos. And then I clipped it and I put it out there. And then I saw all of the influencers putting it out there because I put a picture of each one of them. And then I like put them into the side and I showed dual citizen passports. And that's one of the most like interesting things about this is they weren't just Israelis.
Lots
they were dual citizenship Israelis, which is
a
huge difference.
I want to see your edit.
Yeah.
So this guy, so he said he did it spur of the moment, wasn't planning on doing it, and got there and felt like a calling from God to go up there. And they kept trying to like sign on. So I'm like, quiet. And he's just I'm almost done.
That dude's a legend. And it just shows that like, even if you're quivering, you got to speak the truth.
Yeah.
And
no, he didn't want to do that. He was just there at a meeting and he said he felt a calling.
Yeah.
And he stepped up. I'm like, you didn't plan that? He's like, no. I just felt the calling while I was there. You have to listen to these. If you're feeling these callings, you have to listen to them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We know it's morally right. Like, neither one of us woke up one day and like, hey, I want to start a fight with the most powerful people in the world.
No. And none of this comes from hate. It's all a love for the people, a love for righteousness. To be able to speak the truth, and then they call speaking out on these things hateful.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm the last thing from hateful. Like, I love my people.
Yeah.
And to see a certain group of people subverting everyone, like they
are
the supremacists.
I don't hate all of them either, but you can look and see clearly as a group, it's not all of them, but as a group, they are subverting our country, the world.
Right.
Absolutely abusing, raping, torturing.
Yeah.
They're doing evil as a group.
Right.
Yeah. To deny that is denial of reality.
Like, and of course, like if you know a good Jew, like, yeah, there's great Jews.
Of course there's good Jews. Exactly. You know? Some people don't believe there's any good Jews. I am not that person. I believe there are some. But as a whole, you have to look at it and be like, as a group, this people, no other group has 100 different fucking organizations to get you blacklisted, to go after your money. I'm sure they've gone after you, right? Tried to hurt your income.
Absolutely. They've demonetized me, limited my ads. I can't make a TikTok. I've 4 TikToks gone, you know, so I have to be careful. It's like I've got a warning on my thing. Yeah. When I posted the Epstein files video, they struck it down.
Yeah. So we can't push this. You know, I got video taken down for talking about how the Rothschilds' involvement in creating Israel.
Yep.
They themselves admit it.
Yep.
They funded it, mm-hmm. but, oh, I got taken down for saying it.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, when the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, that was, like, basically the beginning of Jewish supremacy owning the entire globe.
I think that's when they took over our country, and I need to go more deep on that.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve, it's not federal.
It's
they
not.
Came in and took control of America's money supply. Mm-hmm. So they can print our money out of thin air and charge us interest on it?
Yep. So it's not federal, and it's not there's no reserves.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching Fight Back Podcast. If you like the show, like, subscribe, or share the video. There's also donation links in the descriptions. Why buy or sell a gun from a company that hates you and your values when you can support free speech and the podcast by going to armslist.com to buy, sell, trade all firearms and accessories. So to get the discount, go to armslist.com and put in promo code FIGHTBACK and it'll be only $1 the first month.
All right, quick break to talk about something I've just started using, Rumble Wallet. If you've ever been curious about buying and investing in cryptocurrencies or Bitcoin or Tether, but felt like it was too complicated, Rumble Wallet is an easy way to get started. You can buy, sell, and manage your cryptocurrencies all in one place. The app is super easy and straightforward. What really makes Rumble Wallet unique is that you can use it to tip your favorite creators on Rumble. To get started, download the Rumble Wallet app and sign up with your existing Rumble account. Click my link in the descriptions or search Rumble Wallet in your app store.
So, yeah, and that's crazy because they started that in 1913. And now these companies own about 70% of global assets.
Yeah, through BlackRock, Vanguard.
Through BlackRock, yeah.
A3.
And, you know, where did the Rothschilds come from? Well, okay, Germany.
The Federal Reserve, the guy engineering that was Paul Warburg.
Right.
He was tied in with the Rothschilds.
Right.
And Epstein, he literally says, I work for the Rothschilds. As you probably know, to Peter Thiel, I work for the Rothschilds.
Right.
So it's like, I thought they were like a dead banking dynasty. I'm not going to lie. But I see that, and it's like, wow, the conspiracy theorists were right.
Yeah. I mean, they're still controlling everything. And that's how they do that, is they pump and dump different economies. And that's what they've been doing since World War II.
Yeah.
You saw that the Rothschilds, they spread out all of their sons into all these different banks.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, they were telling certain countries that, oh, you lost the war, and then sell all your assets. And then they decided, oh, we're going to actually buy up all your assets. And now that's how they do that. They manufacture
Epstein,
problems.
See, Epstein says this is how the Jew makes money. We're talking about, you know, those shipping
futures. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let the goyim deal in the real world while we get rich off of betting on shipping futures. And that's what they do, is they create chaos, and the first thing to go are shipping containers. That's the first thing. And so they see that as an indicator, and while everybody else is losing money, they're betting against it.
Howard Lutnick got rich off he bet against the tariffs, and he's the one that got Trump to put the tariffs in, and he bet they're gonna get struck down by the Supreme Court. So he got rich off that.
Yep. Makes sense.
Trump made a fool out of Trump.
I mean, who owns all of the hedge funds?
Exactly. So that's the real seat of their power.
Every
the
single
banks
time.
And the stock market manipulation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're probably going to not even be able to put this on YouTube, or at least pieces of it. I have to cut pieces out because you can't call out, because they control everything and they control the information, the majority of the information.
And it's just factual. Like, these are there's nothing
about it. It's just like, why does this group get to manipulate our money? You know, after 9/11, there was massive put options against American Airlines and United Airlines, the two airlines that were hijacked. So they did an investigation. The investigation says, oh, no, it wasn't Muslim, so it wasn't inside trading.
Right. And they're always trying to blame the Muslims for everything. And it's like, what, do we have maybe like 3 or 4 in Congress at all?
Muslims are not. I get attacked sometimes by, like, you know, people in Europe. Oh, the Muslims are a huge problem. Like, maybe in Europe they are, but in America as a whole.
Yeah.
So, some are a problem. As a whole, the Muslims don't cause a major problem in America. They mostly assimilate. They mostly, you know, doesn't mean I want to bring a bunch more over, but they don't cause that many problems in this country. I get get along good with Muslims for the most part.
Same. Yeah. I mean, well, this is what happens is we bomb the shit out of their infrastructure and then they're like, oh, well, America or Israel attacked us. And then they come into our country illegally through having to because they were forced to. I don't blame them. Obviously, we don't.
No, I don't bring people over, but never. I don't blame the immigrants for wanting to come over and make a better life. I blame our government for like giving them a bunch of free housing and all this. I also blame our government for bombing them. I blame both sides.
Right.
One side bombs them, the other side wants to bring them in.
Exactly. Yeah. They fund both sides. They fund open borders and then they fund the wars. Yeah. So it's like they're creating the problem so that they can usher in the solution, like they do with everything. Mm-hmm. So it's dark.
No, it is. It's like you see this darkness, and it's like, well, earlier you're saying you think a lot of it is involved with like the Third Temple.
Yeah,
I know a little bit about it, but not a lot. Like, yeah, it seems a little crazy this Third Temple. Well, why don't you go ahead since you understand it better than me?
Yeah, basically, all of this chaos and destruction that he's creating with Iran, the biggest thing they want is a retaliation. So that they can eventually destroy the Temple of the Mount, the Dome of the Rock, so that they can usher in the Third Temple, which is where they're going to be making all their sacrifices.
That's what they've done. That's the sacrifice there before. That's why Jesus attacked it.
Exactly.
They did like thousands of sacrifices there. They had these giant troughs. Exactly. They had this guest come on who went to the temple where blood would flow out. Dark and demonic, and I don't know. That's probably human sacrifice too.
Yeah, and if we want to understand where that location is, it's basically where Jesus whipped the money changers.
Exactly. That's exactly
that's
where he attacked
the place.
Him. That's why they crucified him, because he attacked this temple. They want to rebuild it.
And so now, basically, Islam owns that area with the Dome of the Rock. And so they want – and that's what happens is basically through the Abraham Accords in 2020 – basically, America set up this this allegiance with all of the Arab nations to basically allow them to have access to like these trillion-dollar assets and so that they can – and they sent all these F-32s over to the United Arab Emirates through Israel's approval.
So we basically, I believe, pay them and give them weapons so they sign these accords. Is that correct?
Yeah. And to
a lot of money we pay them too.
Yeah, and to basically create a front against – Iran and Palestine, which were like the last fronts.
Maybe a little bit of Hezbollah, because not even Lebanon. It's like Hezbollah. No, it's like the evil empire versus the resistance.
Exactly. The people who are trying to create the New World Order, which is, you know, this movement that's been pushed by the Chabad, which they believe that this guy, Rabbi Schneerson, who died in 1994, is eventually going to rise up from the grave and going to, through his sentient consciousness is going to allow the Israelis to basically create their third temple. And so this is everything that they're working on is to create their Moshiach, their Messiah, since they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah.
Which is like the Antichrist.
Exactly. And so it's a kind of an oxymoron to believe that American or Christians should be supporting this Jewish supremacy that wants to take over and create the New World Order. Yeah. And we see with like Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum, he was talking about, you know, we want to abolish private property by 2030.
You'll own nothing and be happy and you'll eat the bugs.
Mm-hmm. And
his own words, they tell us that you'll eat bugs and own nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're supposed to think that's a good thing.
And it absolutely is not a good thing. And so anybody who's pushing this whole Zionist agenda that we need to go fund this so that Jesus Christ can eventually come, you're basically asking for a Jewish world order. That's really what it is.
No, like, that's what they're trying to do. And Christians are with it. And Chabad Lubavitch, that's kind of the seat of power. I actually just did an episode where I go deep in there with this guy, Jonathan. Haven't dropped it yet, but it'll probably drop it before this interview, actually, where he went, you know, spent 2 hours going deep through Chabad. They're like... they're pulling the strings. Do you know what they think of your soul? Have you seen that?
What do they think? I don't have a soul.
Basically, what they do, they think it's an animal soul from satanic spheres.
Ah.
And they have godly souls, precious, divine.
Oh, wow. Yeah, like, yeah.
God's chosen little people. Imagine if I said that. I don't think Jews, I think they have animal, satanic souls. And then every president, every world leader, and it's not just American presidents. Javier Milei is part of the organization. Mm-hmm. Putin fired one of his top advisors for criticizing them.
Wow.
That one kind of like threw me off. Like the English presidents go meet them. These organizations all around the world, and they seem to be pulling the strings, and they're hard to understand. It's hard to, right. It's hard to track.
It's really hard to track. And I think that's what they're great at is money laundering. Mm-hmm. They figured out how to get into all these different organizations, Christian organizations.
Yes.
And to push this narrative that they need to build the third temple. And that's basically their entire goal.
Yeah.
Is to create that third temple so that they can complete their new world order and control of the global order. That's what they're trying to do. And I definitely believe that like they're using Trump as basically this person who's creating order out of chaos. And they talk a lot about that. And a lot of people now are saying like, well, you can't even predict Trump's moves. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah, I think he looks at him. They look at himself as like Cyrus, I think. I believe it's Cyrus, the king of the Jews, the non-Jewish king of the Jews, if he isn't Jewish. You know, they use him.
Yep.
He's not that bright. He likes praise and rewards. They give him awards. I think they also have blackmail on him, money. I think it's a combination thing. And he's doing whatever they tell him. It's embarrassing.
There's no other way to see this than they've got to have blackmail on these people in order to get them to do this.
I think it's all of it. I think it's bribery, blackmail. Like, look at Lindsey Graham. He looks like such a sick demon.
Oh, he is such a warmonger.
Yeah, he just lights up with excitement with war.
Yeah.
I think they got something dark
on him. It's almost like they promised them that they're going to be safe when they create this holy land. But it's like, dude, you're a goy too,
stab
man.
Stab him in the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably give Lindsey Graham little boys.
Oh, probably.
Sick knowing that's like probably actually reality.
Yeah.
And like, I wish I was joking, but
you're probably right. And they probably do that. And they probably have it on film too.
You know, exactly.
You know? And so like, if he ever goes against this agenda, they've got something on him. And what's a better way to have a teammate than to have somebody that
you've both done bad things. So they have it all. Like they have like the blackmail, the payment. And then a lot of these guys are just evil and want to go along with it too.
Right.
And a lot of the Muslims, that pisses me off, these Muslims are working with them too. I didn't realize it till more recently studying, being like, oh, most of these Muslim countries they're literally in the Epstein files, like the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, the Abu Dhabi people.
Yeah, the guy in Dubai.
I love the torture videos.
Yeah.
And he was eating with MBS, the Saudi prince.
Like, yes.
Like, there's pictures of them on there. I posted it. There was this huge campaign trying to claim it was AI, but I pulled it right from the files and it wasn't, but they even put like a fake note on there, but then they took it off after like a day. But there was such a large campaign of being, this is fake, clearly being paid from them with all these Saudi guys, and really pulled it straight from the files. And eventually Twitter took the note off after like a day, but they put a note on there saying it was a fake AI picture.
Jeez.
For a minute.
Yeah.
It just shows you how they can manipulate people to be like, oh, that's AI.
Now,
AI can be used with fake pictures, but they're also going to try saying things are AI now.
They are the experts at propaganda. Yeah.
They didn't take down the thing until I pulled out files from the picture and then also him talking about, oh, I got that picture with MBS.
Yep. Yeah, that's the same thing with like the COVID-19 thing. Like the things that I was saying about it, saying that, hey, we don't know much about these vaccines. You couldn't even mention the word vaccine without getting demonetized, shut down. And eventually I got my YouTube back, and basically I had this one guy reach out to all of these different YouTube experts, Google, and they ended up seeing what I had posted, and I was right.
Do you have connections to YouTube? Narrative. I know someone trying to get their YouTube back.
No. It's kind of crazy how it works.
It's difficult.
This guy emailed me and he's like, hey, man, I'm from Nigeria. My name is David Davidson. and he's like, I can help you get
to marry a prince?
And I'm like, all right, buddy. Yeah, sure. You're going to fix my YouTube. And I was like, all right, I give you 4 weeks to do it. I'll pay you $400. If it takes you... you know, less than that, I'll pay you $600. Mm-hmm. And he ended up basically getting it for
me.
Wow. Yeah,
I think you were expecting that.
I was not. I'm not going to pay you a dime.
No, I would not pay first.
I actually sent him a bunch of like bullshit jokes, basically like, dude, you're not going to do this.
Wow.
Yeah, go good luck, bro. And he ended up doing it.
This guy.
Shout out to David Davidson. He's been waiting for me to make a shout out for him.
David,
so
shout out
David
to
Davidson.
You. Sorry for doubting you.
Sorry for doubting you, bro. You know,
wait, where is he from?
You said Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Yeah.
It's like literally the
scammer central, man.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I know. So he showed me the emails that he was writing. He probably used AI to write out all of these different emails. He went to LinkedIn and sent all of these different like SEO experts, like previous YouTube.
People watching this show might want to reach out. Does he have like an email or something?
Yeah, I'll post his thing.
Like, post it I'll post his thing. There
yeah, because I found him on Twitter. And
people are always trying to get their YouTube back.
Yeah, when he promised me this, I was like, good luck, man. I wish, because I would have paid anything to get that back. I've had videos since I was
so hard for
since I was like, 12 years old, man. Oh, and I'd made like over 1,000 videos, over 1,000, probably about 100 long form videos, over 900 reels.
It's all on there, huh?
Yeah. And so it's that one's sitting at 55,000 subscribers. But my new AI news channel is sitting at 48,000, somewhere around there. So I'm trying to grow them both.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to blow up, especially the AI news stuff. Yeah. I think it's not just telling you because you're here. I think it's the most brilliant like news thing I've seen because you don't see good videos very often.
No, you
People don't.
Don't
really make art because it's just maybe because it's too much content. It is hard. You know, I've made a couple videos I put a lot of time into. Then if they don't do well, it's just like discouraging.
Right. And then sometimes you can have like a video that goes really viral, but it's like of Bigfoot or something.
Yeah, I've
got like,
videos that weren't great.
It's fun,
viral.
But it's like you're not learning something. So I wanted to make it as like educational, informational, and you know that's why I put a lot of work into it from everything. And you could watch it like three times and notice different Easter eggs in each one. So the people that do follow me, I've got a very strong
really
niche
like you,
audience.
Yeah. People really like you.
Yeah, people who watch it, they're like. You know, as soon as I post a video, it's like 500 comments within the first like 3 hours.
Or I hit the Hodgkins producer. He's like, I love that guy. Let me see if you get on the Twins. I hit Dan Blazarian with you. And first he goes, wait, who? Jake goes, oh, that guy is awesome. I hit the video. He's like, yo, his videos are awesome.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
He would, like, love your stuff.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Yeah, Dan's killing it, too. I love his narrative on all of this. He's just
really,
calling out the supremacy.
A truth speaker.
He
know?
Is, yeah.
And, as a friend, he's the same way. He's always going to tell you exactly how he feels.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know how Dan feels on an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
I like friends like that, though. You know exactly where you stand with him.
Right.
He does something you don't like, he's going to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will do that.
No. And we live in this, like, silence culture where it's like, oh, be careful. I don't, you know, like, even when I'm talking to my friends about some of this stuff, they're looking around like, oh, you're saying this out loud? I'm like, yeah, we all should. Let them listen
to me. Exactly. A lot of people agree, but they're too cowardly.
Yeah.
I know so many people that agree. You know, even a couple of big name, like, people I reached out to about okay, Dan, your thing. They agreed with them, but they're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, politically.
Yeah.
Like, do you really care about political right now? It's good versus evil. Have you not seen what's happening in the last 3 years?
Right.
Almost everyone, other than morons and a few boomers, can see these people.
We could see it on Twitter. They're literally sniping children in the head. You know, you don't get that wrong. You know, when you see through a sniper, you can see that.
Holding a child and they'll hit the mother or child. That just.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to watch this stuff.
It's really
hard. They do
it
all the time. I can't even go look at this stuff anymore because it's just been doing it for like 3 years or whatever, just brutally. And like the rapes in prison, the sexual torture, they're obsessed with raping people.
Exactly.
They're always threatening to rape me. Isn't that weird?
That is odd.
The only men ever threatened to rape me are these people.
Wild. It's like.
And I know they actually want to do it, is what's sick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. You know, they want to humiliate
if they
us.
If they win this war, they will rape me.
It's wild.
I have to win. I can't win this.
Yeah, good luck raping you, bro. Yeah.
Well, they handcuff you and they get lined.
Right.
They, you know, you see how like it's the only country that's ever had right to rape riots of raping Palestinian prisoners. They literally rioted so they keep raping Palestinians.
Right, disgusting. And then those same people who were raping those Palestinians ended up on TV and they were just like, so
like
they were set
stars.
Up as celebrities.
Yeah, they're celebrities in Israel because they momentarily got arrested for gang rape prisoners. So technically, you're not supposed to in Israel, but then they had riots. They let them go. They became TV stars.
Yep.
No charges were pressed.
And you won't hear any of this in mainstream news. And I think that's why people are so like, oh, let's be careful, because they don't hear it from the news. They don't hear it in public discourse.
I need to watch the mainstream news. I haven't in a while. I hear Fox News is just like an alternative reality, like praising Trump. Even CNN, do you see that poll when they're like, he has 100% of Republican approval for this war? It's like, no, he doesn't.
Right.
You know, don't believe your own ears and eyes. In 1984, they're like, what do they say? The final and most essential command is to not believe your own eyes and ears.
Right. Yeah.
That's what they want from us.
Yeah. They absolutely just listen to the experts. Just listen to what we're telling you. Like, we're winning. We're winning this war. And it's like, no, we're not. Iran is retaliating hard.
Like,
they're a huge country. You can't just take them over. And so they're actually the ones setting the standards, but yeah, all you're going
to
hear
on...
They're
the ones refusing to come to terms.
Yeah.
They're saying no.
And they don't want to open up the Strait of Hormuz, you know, which was open.
Which was already open. That's when Trump's going, hey, guys, you got to help me open this. Yeah. It was already open, dumbass.
It was closed because you were bombing their bridges, literally saying, like, we're going to bomb your bridges. Not the not the bridges that led to like military centers, but like just civilian bridges.
Imagine if like, bro, Iran was saying, we're going to bomb the Golden Gate Bridge.
Exactly.
We're going to bomb all your sites and getting all excited about it on Twitter. We'd be like, wow, these are sick, demonic
people. Go to war against these people.
Let's fight them. And that's how the Iranian people, they are like ready to fight.
Yeah.
Trump goes, Jared told me that they were going to come in and take over the thing. It's like, Jared's a moron, lying, scumbag piece of shit.
Right.
Who's Chavad Lubavitch.
Yes. Yep. And so this is what they do, is they rationalize things through these different like way that they talk about things. So they're going to say that, oh, they have a nuclear facility, you know, well, you know, they signed the nuclear proliferation treaty and Israel didn't.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
Israel stole our nukes.
Then we just sanction the shit out of them until we end up bombing their nuclear facilities. And now Trump is talking about we're going to burn their bridges and
kill everyone,
and destroy their power plants. Basically just trying to put them in economic ruin. I believe they just lost about 60% of their dollar value.
Wow.
So they are getting hit right now, but they're still fighting back. And
but they're fighting for their basic survival of humanity. It's like we come in and win. It's like we're fighting to protect, literally to protect child fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Like people in the army, if you're brave, don't go. Go AWOL. Refuse to go. You know,
right.
If they all just refuse to go, they can't fight this fight. Like, how are you fighting? You're not a hero if you're out bombing children. You're
not
a hero.
No.
You know, I'm not going to welcome you as a hero if you came out and killed kids for pedophiles.
No, you're the villain. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're a hero, if you don't go.
100%. And I think they basically, so I was watching the news the other day and they were talking.
You have to for your new program.
You have to. Yeah. I mean, I pull up clips for these things, but. Basically, they were saying that, Iran shouldn't have ended, like, they should take the ceasefire, but they're not because of Lebanon. But they have nothing to do with Lebanon. It's like, well, no,
they care.
We're bombing innocent civilians and destroying these, like, thousand-year-old structures that have been there forever. And it's like, of course Iran's not going to. And if you look into what Israel has done, they've broken ceasefire over 900 times in the last 80 years.
They just laugh at it. And
so
Lebanon was part of the ceasefire agreement, and Netanyahu basically told America to go fuck off and just kept bombing them.
Yeah.
And then Trump goes, oh, okay. And you see how Vance, he was calling Netanyahu, because I think Trump was at the UFC during negotiations. He kept calling Netanyahu to ask if they could take the deal. And Netanyahu said him no. And he publicly basically said, yeah, the White House calls me every day to check in. He wants it known.
Yeah.
He wants it known that he controls. They want to humiliate us publicly. They don't make
100%.
It hide. You know, he makes Trump pull his chair out for him. They publicly wants us to
like
bow
a little
down
bitch.
And humiliate him. It's just
yeah, and that's J.D. Vance was the one talking about that, saying
fuck
that
Vance
like
too.
Saying that Lebanon has nothing to do with Iran. Why are they not coming to terms with our agreements? And it's like at the end of the day, they don't even really want them to accept the agreement. They want them to retaliate.
Yeah.
And they're going to do everything they can to get them to retaliate. Because they've never been terrorists.
They've never done any terrorists.
They're not,
we're always attacking them.
Right. And they're not just like, I don't want to be crude, but they're not just like another Islamic country. Like they're Persians. Like they've
very
been Aryans.
Advanced society.
And there's
yeah, they're
a lot
Aryans.
Of Christians there.
They're one of the most, they were the first known extremely advanced civilization.
Like, yeah. Like these are not the same type of sand people that they're all talking about. And I say that because, you know, that's basically how Israel treats them, as if they're just like, they're worth nothing. And we can
that's
just
how they're portrayed. But though they're very advanced civilized people. I had someone trying to get me to go out to Iran before the war started. And I was a little like, oh, this is a good idea. They're going to put me like on like terrorist lists and the safety. Then the war broke out.
Right.
I actually wanted to visit Iran for years because wrestling is huge there.
Oh, really?
Because I have the cauliflower ears. You wrestle too.
Yeah, yeah.
Iranian people sometimes will randomly just walk up to me and start talking about like wrestling.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like if you travel all over the world, they'll come up. And they're always like friendly, nice.
That's what I've heard.
Not that it should matter, but they're white. They're Aryan, you know, for the people that are racist. Like
every video I've seen in Iran, they just seem like the sweetest people.
Oh, they really are. Yeah. And I know because they'll randomly come up and want to talk about my ears. Like, oh, you're a wrestler.
Right, yeah.
So it's like
Bourdain, actually. He was talking about of all of the countries that he's visited, Iran was the sweetest, friendliest people that he's ever met.
Mm.
Anthony Bourdain was a legend, you know.
Yeah, he went over.
Who knows what happened to him, you know.
I knew him a little bit through jiu-jitsu. He trained the same gym. Didn't know him well, but he trained at the same gym. I trained in New York, talked to him a few times, and then, yeah, it's sad that he...
Yeah, and he was outspoken. He was traveling to all these different places, talking to these people about the economic state.
He was Jewish too, I believe, but he still spoke out against what Israel did.
Yeah, he was a good guy, man. He wasn't just talking about food. He was literally asking them their economic state, what they really think. And that's what they don't want us to do. They want us to all get our news from these experts, listen to what we have to say about these people. They're all terrorists. They're all killing people. And so there's that second narrative that, okay, the IRGC is basically going out and killing all these protesters, and they're just killing everybody
they say like
in the 40, streets.
40,000. That's such a high, ridiculous number, and they repeat it over and over.
Right.
First it was like 10,000, 20,000, 34,000. Soon it'll be 6 million.
Yeah.
Right. It's like 40,000. That's so many people they try claiming they killed.
Yeah.
It's like, give me a break.
Right. And a lot of people are falling for this, you know, and they're basically saying like, oh no, Trump's going to save them and Israel's going to save them. Thank you so much, Israel.
The people sure didn't rise up like Jared told Trump they were going to do.
Right.
And yes, you could see they were fighting on the ground. And I'm skeptical there even was a pilot when they said the planes went down.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like it might've been a failed ground operation because that was actually 100 miles from where it crashed through mountains.
Yeah. The latest of the C-130s.
Yeah, again, I don't know the details behind this.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the details either.
But where they had that battle, because they said a plane got shot down, they're rescuing a pilot.
Yeah.
It was like over 100 miles away through mountains.
Right.
So, and they had all these giant cargo ships that were shot down. A lot of people believe that it was an attempted ground operation to try to get the uranium, and it was failed.
Oh, absolutely. And there's pictures that you could see of like skulls in the ground.
Yeah, we say no one died there.
And no one died. You could see dead bodies there.
Yeah.
So how many people really died?
They probably lost a lot more Americans than they're giving up.
Absolutely. And it's classified now. We're not allowed to even talk about this. And if these people go out and ask the military, like, oh, like, where's my son? They're going to tell them, like, oh, that's classified. We don't know. And some people will never get to see their children or their fathers ever again because they were sent off to this place where it was like, it was a suicide mission. And
Trump's such a moron. Like, he just doesn't like, oh, we can go do this. I think he got overconfident after he went into Venezuela and believes he could do anything.
Right.
He didn't realize, oh, you're fighting a real army.
Right.
And the people were helping fight against him. The people were coming out with machine guns and shooting on these people. So it's like, oh, the people aren't welcoming you.
Yeah.
They're fighting you off.
It's like one thing after the other. It was like, you know, as soon as we all started to notice together, then boom, Venezuela happened. And then they've got all these people in Miami just celebrating like, oh, look what Trump has done. It's like in these seem like orchestrated protests and like orchestrated celebrations, and
they have it organized. People like George Soros organized these protests, and
you
notice there wasn't very many big protests against Iran.
No,
because they wanted that war. The Democrats were barely against that.
Yeah, yeah, but a lot of there's still like people who will go to these like parties where they've got like what is his name, Reza Pavlik, or the guy who's
someone was trying to get him to come and talk to me a while ago. Like, oh god, that guy's such a
just a wall kisser, man.
Literally,
you know, literally
the wall and kissed it,
kissing the wall.
Place him in front of Iran. You really think the people are going to welcome you there, clown? No. And there's the girl with Venezuela that was begging to be put in. She Trump made her give him her Nobel Peace Prize, and then he didn't put her in.
Yeah,
she literally. There was rumors that he was mad. He wouldn't put her in because she won the Nobel Prize instead of him. What a fucking clown!
Yeah.
So she literally came and gave him the prize.
Imagine
if you like told me I have to give you like a belt from fighting, and I gave it to you, and you put it on your wall. Like like you won that belt. It's like fucking pathetic.
Yeah, and she was talking about how she wants to build a Jewish embassy in a Venezuelan embassy in Jerusalem, which. Bring it back to 2017. That's what Trump did. He created the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, which was the beginning of the ushering in of the Third Temple. And it's all part of the plan.
I believe Jerusalem is supposed to be an international city, not Israel, right?
It's
technically.
Not, yeah.
And then that means Trump says, hey, well, this is Israel. So they keep giving them land that's not theirs.
Yep.
And that's where in Lebanon, how you saw Apple Maps took the names off. They're taking this. And it
says
people that work at Apple are in on it.
Oh, 100%. Yep.
It's like they're in on it. The West Bank, this is, most people probably know by now, people that don't, Gaza, that's where Hamas is, this little strip, West Bank of these other settlements.
Yeah.
They're in there illegally, taking it, going in there. These people, you see them, they look like these inbred savages You see that video? It's going viral. This guy yesterday. They're all mad because he's on the his face.
Yep.
Is so disgusting, despicable looking that he's harassing some woman.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that people just roamed around harassing you, raping women, stealing your homes, or just disgusting, yeah, just vile,
disgusting creatures. Yeah. Who are
basically.
We should
do a reaction video on these settlers.
Yeah. I just posted a video on this, and you see him, he's just like saying that, oh, this is my indigenous land. And he's like, dude, you look so inbred.
No, he does. And it's like they even issued out, like, acting like it was doctored, but it wasn't. It was like the, I think it was the cover of some big magazine.
Yeah.
Where we have this dude's picture. Let's see. I don't think.
Like, yeah, can you imagine?
The camera off your boat. Look at this inbred.
Yeah, can you imagine that guy that. Like, coming to your land and saying that it's his?
Your home is mine.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to sodomize your daughter. And look, I think he stole that girl's headpiece. He was harassing a girl.
Wow, that's what he's wearing?
Yeah, he was harassing a girl in the photo. I think he stole it from – he was literally harassing a Palestinian girl there.
Like, and this is just one of thousands of videos.
Yeah. It's just disgusting. You know, people won't really see it. Maybe I'll put a thing. It's just –
yeah, it's disgusting.
God's chosen.
Yeah.
It's God's chosen.
Yeah,
it's
Satan's, like, chosen little people. That's what I call them.
You know, like, more Jews should call this shit out.
100%.
Why do you want, if my people were doing this.
That's what we were going to get to is they use their trauma as like a trauma-based mind control.
Dude, I'm just getting mad watching this video. They're like taking her headscarf, harassing this woman. It's like.
Yeah. And what can they do? They have no rights to retaliate, or
and you have these guys roaming through your lands. They have weapons. The Palestinians don't through there.
Yeah, yeah.
So they harass them, cut down their trees, kill their animals.
It's rights just, for them, but not for the actual people who owned the land for thousands of years.
Yeah,
it's sickening to watch, and I couldn't imagine being one of them and having these people coming in because it makes me. Furious.
No, it does.
I want to beat the shit out of these people.
I agree. And you see, like, these demonic kids, and I think it's they spit on Christians,
too. Yeah, and they're indoctrinated to learn this way. And I think a big part of that is the Chabad movement. They're very good at creating this narrative from the time that they're young, that they've been this oppressed nation, and they're you know, perpetual victims. And all of the trauma that they've been through, they're allowed to now attack people, but nobody can attack them back.
They do a great job of brainwashing Jewish people, too, because a lot of them are the victims of this.
Exactly.
I know a few people that have snapped out of it, and much prop to them. You know, the Jewish guys that are speaking about this, I want to give them their props.
Me too.
We deserve that. I know a few guys that are being like, hey, this is nasty. This is my people. This is causing anti-Semitism, not people like me and you and Dan.
Right.
So this is causing it. You know, the Rabbi Shmuel.
100%. Yeah, like, so it's not like all of them, but it's always them.
You know? Yeah, they need to be like unbrainwashed. I think it's the same international bankers have used them. They are supremacists. They do think they're better.
Yeah.
But they'll also kill them like October 7th, how they moved that festival. The day before, they moved it right by the border.
Look,
it was like the hippies. They're like, oh, we don't need these people. We can come through and wipe out the festival.
Right.
Imagine you're on a festival high in ecstasy and all of a sudden you're getting killed.
Yeah. And there are paragliders, and we find out now that Hamas was heavily funded by Israel in the first place, and so they used that as, oh, here's our new trauma event. We're going to call this the new 9/11. Yeah. We're going to blame the Muslims once again.
Once again, they shorted stocks and got rich off it.
Right.
And they just can't help it. No, that was, I think, almost certainly planned. They had
100%.
I've been to Israel.
They had a stand down order.
Everywhere. It's a really small country. There's military everywhere. The military just didn't come.
No.
And when they did come, they used Apache helicopters to kill more Israelis.
And that's where we're learning a lot about of this stuff is there is like a left-right narrative in Israel. And there are certain people in Israel who are speaking out against this. And that's how we actually hear about a lot of this.
There is a
sect in Israel that's like are the ones who are putting this out. And so we're seeing like on Twitter all of these videos of them like protesting to rape. We wouldn't find that out unless there was journalists in their own country who were against this. So it's not all of them, like I was saying, but it's too many of them. And, you know, a lot of people will say, OK, you need to differentiate between Zionists and Jews. But it's like at the end of the day, it's like 80 to 90% of Jews are Zionists.
Yeah.
So it makes it really hard to separate the two, but we need that 20% to be even more outspoken.
Yeah, we need more outspoken. We want more to jump in. They're also heavily ostracized in their own communities. Like some of the Jewish people, one that's been really
They'll
vocal.
Hate them.
His whole family hates him. He's been completely ostracized. I can't think of his guy's name. I should bring him on the show because he's like, he's more left wing, but he seems really passionate and just disgusted by what's happening.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I can't remember this guy's name right now. I didn't reach out to him. Should have something like that on. He's just, his whole family's ostracized and they won't speak to him. Like, cause he's going hard being like, this is sick.
Yes. And in a big one, the person who filmed the Palestinian soldiers doing that stuff and put it out there, she's now disappeared.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they probably kidnapped her, tortured her, and killed her.
100%. Wow, I think they took away her traveling rights, and then they put her on a lockdown order at her own home. And the next thing you know, she's disappeared.
This is for exposing the
game. For exposing it. Yeah.
Torture.
They hated her for it.
Wow. No, they hate their own that go against them really hard.
So 100%.
They do get big pushback. Like, remember out of all the guests I had on, the one that was attacked, like, I was surprised by so many big guests then come on, not get attacked for doing my show, especially sometimes we don't even talk politics, like fighters and stuff. But Dave Smith, they were so mad that he was on my show, I think because he was Jewish.
Yeah.
They were just like, why did you go on his show? They were always attacking Dave Smith. I was like, interesting. The Jews get attacked more than the non-Jews, and the Jews do it. So,
right.
So we do have to understand there's that element of it, but it's still not an excuse.
It isn't, no. And yeah, that's wild. It's like they want their own kind to not go against them. And there's this big group think there that it's like, if you do go against it, then you're not one of us.
You're not really a Jew.
It's kind of how MAGA has become, you know, it's like,
you're not MAGA anymore. Like, yeah, no. Trump's not MAGA.
No.
And, I don't want any part of that disgusting.
Right.
And you know, fuck all those MAGA people. Anyone still with Trump, you know, including Tulsi Gabbard, used to be my friend. You know,
yeah.
The fact that she didn't resign. All these disgusting people. Fuck them all. You know, Vance, none of them. If you're still
Straight
with
up.
Trump, and you know, maybe if you're a boomer and you don't know, but if you're an influencer and you're still with Trump, you're being paid.
Exactly.
A lot of these, I've had a couple of these guys tell me, oh, secretly they agree, but they're probably pushing anything. And I'm like, fuck you.
You know?
Fuck you if you're doing it for money.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's kind of, I'm going to like them better by telling me they're doing it for money. It's like, no, bro, we're not going to be friends anymore. I'm not going to publicly out you. But you're fucking doing this for money. This is fuck you.
Right.
I had someone recently, one of the big influencers, talked about it. I'm not going to out him, but it pissed me off.
Every single person who wasn't outspoken about what was happening with the Epstein files and still pushed this narrative that, like, and that's what they do is they, you know, they act like we can't talk about race because we can't talk about, like, the J's.
Yeah.
But yet here they are talking about, you know, they're open about the fact that, like,
God's choosing them. They
right.
Our souls are satanic.
But even the right wing, they're very outspoken about, like, you know, the issues with black violence and all of that.
Yeah.
But when you start speaking about anything to do with the chosen people,
you can't.
You can't. It's like this
they
special.
Want to pass these laws.
It's this special level of racism that they call anti-Semitism, which is its own special class. And they've conditioned us to believe that, like, if you are an anti-Semite, then you are the worst of the worst.
Exactly.
And since
I
birth,
just don't want kids to get killed in race.
Me neither.
So I'll accept that term if that's what they want to do.
Exactly.
But it is hard when I first started doing it because they try to isolate you from everything. They try to go after all your money.
Yep.
But now I think people like us have blazed the way, so it's a lot easier.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, just talked to some chick, though, who got fired from her $250,000 a year job in New York because she called out some baby-killing Israelis on the street. She
Jeez.
Went and confronted them, and they fired her from her medical job. But she's like, you know what? I know I'm on the right side.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to stay silent with these people. And this is a woman. So if you're a man, you're
going
to let this woman have a lot more courage than you.
Right.
It's like, come on.
We have one life, and we have to use it towards, like, giving our children the best future. And I just can't imagine seeing my grandkids in the New World Order being like, what did grandpa do? And he was just
nothing.
Silent and watching football and just like
watching
Fox News saying like, oh yeah, go Trump. And it's like they're ushering in this global control system that's eventually going to bring in a cashless digital ID society where everybody has to comply. And they're going to rewrite history like they always do.
It's not far off either.
It isn't.
AI, the Palantir.
Yep.
Isn't your book kind of about this type of stuff? Because you wrote a book, by the way. What's your book called?
My book is called The Digital Prison, How AI Built the New World Order. So it goes over everything from ICE and how that's being used as a Trojan horse through the surveillance system that they were using in Gaza. So in Gaza, they basically created this 3D mapping system of the entire city.
Uh-huh.
And then they had these AI systems like Lavender and Graphite, which were these spywares that were able to track the entire city, basically turning it into a matrix and basically turning people and military-aged men into data points in order for them to – and they even admit there's this one thing. It's called Hasbara, not Hasbara, which is
like
in Hebrew it means the gospel. And it was it was directly responsible for killing over 50% of the deaths there.
Wow. It's an AI?
It's an AI system. And so that's how they remove human conscience from the equation.
They give us kill scores. And I bet we have them too in America.
Oh,
I bet we
yeah.
have, I bet we have a really high kill scores.
Speaking of, I think it's Virginia. They just created this new thing called a voter scores, where it's like if you don't register, your score goes down. If you don't do these different things, your score goes down. And that's like the way that they're starting to put in these systems that will be able to say like, oh, are you a good guy or are you a bad guy?
Well, even on Twitter, when I lost my checkmark, I was furious. It wasn't just because it was about me. It was because Elon was showing that there's a social credit system. And if you don't jump in line,
right.
all the checkmarks he stripped away were all people that were considered on the right that were anti-Israel.
Yes.
I think a lot of us were also criticizing all those H-1 visas they're bringing in with the Indian workers to replace high-paying American jobs.
Yes.
Doesn't mean I hate Indians, but why are we giving our good jobs to Indians?
100%. Did you do that one score on Twitter where you could put in a certain code?
Mine was insanely high.
Yeah. So on Twitter, they basically had this thing where it was like if you put in a certain code that it'll tell
how
you like how shadow banned you are, what type of engagement that you're getting, and how pushed you are versus how pushed against you are. So you had like a
mine was really high.
Mine was high too. It was like 90%.
Yeah, but I still managed to break through. It just shows you because our opinions are what people want.
Right.
You can see by these ratios. I'm blocked by pretty much all the big Zionist accounts because I just ratio them all constantly because they'll try to blame bots. And I've countered back to the bots causing people not to like your post.
Yeah,
they'll have 200 likes and they'll have 5 million people and 200 likes on their posts. Like,
yeah.
Are the bots doing that too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Benjamin Netanyahu admitted to spending like $6 billion for social media algorithms.
Yeah.
So it's like, of course, these are the people who are going to be sending the bots and they're the ones who are going to be pushing the engagement.
Do you know the guy who was like trying to rape a girl in Vegas and fled back? The Trump administration got him out.
Yes.
In Israel.
Yeah.
His job was to manipulate these algorithms.
Really?
He's the one that tells Twitter what to take down, what to post, who to shadow ban. That's literally that scumbag fucking Jew's job.
It's disgusting. And then he just flees to Israel.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can we have a country where you can literally just like harm children and then flee off to another country and not be extradited?
And the Trump administration got him out. I went and got the body cam footage through like a I forget what the request is called, one of the government requests.
Yeah.
20 minutes of it had muted fucking sound.
Really? Sounds like the Epstein file jail footage where they had missing minutes off of
so
it.
So crazy they did that.
And then you see the file that they had posted was actually like edited and exported from Premiere Pro.
Like they actually did this. At first they said all the cameras stopped working. So all the cameras
and
all the guards in the prison stopped working.
Yeah.
Except one.
Yeah.
There was that 4chan post. Did you see of a guy before Epstein was reported dead? He said, hey, they came in and wheeled him out. He was freaking out.
Yeah.
There was 5 subpoenas to find that guy in the Epstein files, but there's no interview of him in the Epstein files.
Wow.
So they thought it was really important to find him, but not to interview him.
Jeez.
I would love to track this guy down, but I can't remember his name right now top of my head, but that's like,
yeah,
he's literally the only guard that wasn't sleeping.
Wow.
Says the military came in and escorted him out. And he was like,
wow,
that was like an hour before. I knew that for a while, but I figured, oh, there must be some reason. As soon as I saw it was a guard and they had 5 subpoenas in the Epstein files, I'm like, oh, shit, they probably did.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they killed him, but then there was a video that looked like he was alive on the island after.
Did you see the picture of him being wheeled out of the jail?
I didn't.
And he was in an ambulance?
But this is what the guy reported.
Okay.
And this was
like this
an
the
hour,
report, same reporter?
This was like this was an anonymous 4chan post, right?
Okay.
So everyone said it was anonymous, but then they used subpoenas to track him down through Apple, 4chan. There's a way to even anonymous post the way to track down.
Okay, so we're talking about the same guy.
And they found out he was a lieutenant at that prison.
Wow.
He wasn't some random guy.
Okay.
Because everyone known about this post for a while. They'd always mention it, but everyone figured it was just some random shit. But seeing that he was actually a lieutenant at that prison, that's when I changed my mind on the Epstein thing.
Wow. Yeah.
Before I figured they probably killed him, but that made me think, hey, they probably got him out.
And then
you
the
have
one
to always
picture,
change your mind to evidence. You
know? 100%. That's why we're here. Like we can't be closed on any topic. Is bring me new information and I'll change my opinion based on everything that I've seen.
What's interesting? I think every opinion I've seen, I'm sure you don't agree with everything, but I think I've agreed with pretty much all of your takes. It's interesting how some people, there's a couple of people like that where you almost every now and again you'll veer, but you almost always have the same takes on the big issues. Like I'm the same with Dan,
yeah,
my producer. We won't talk to each other. Well, you know, but then we're like, oh, good. You'll see the tweet or something. Like, oh, he has the same opinion I have.
Right. Well, I mean, there's just thousands and thousands of evidence to see what we're seeing of bombed children, like sniped children, like bullets
like all
in their
issues,
head.
Even like Venezuela and ICE and like all these type of issues.
It
seems like always have.
Right. And that's when I came out with the Venezuela one and the ICE one that definitely bridged my supporters from being like, oh, this guy's a liberal. You're not MAGA anymore, bro. It really pushed a lot of people. So when I posted my eyes, I saw that you supported that, and I was like, respect.
I was attacked heavily for my views on that, and I am for getting rid of people, but not how they're handling it.
Me neither.
For shooting American citizens. I don't think they were trying to get rid of one. I think they were just trying to cause chaos.
Like, yes, I don't want illegal immigrants flooding our borders. That doesn't make me like a racist.
Yeah. Well, first they should come in and target criminals. They should have like an order system of who they're getting out. They were coming in. I think they were just trying to cause chaos, getting like teenagers in the middle of the day, getting the wrong people, shooting two people.
Mm-hmm.
And in both cases, the people were both being idiots, but both didn't deserve to be shot. One, the girl said, had a good day, and she turned her wheel away, and she was driving. ICE officer stepped forwards and shot her.
Right.
She wasn't going to hit her, and the other guy, he'd already been disarmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where my book was leading, and why I wrote the book in the first place is because after I posted the ICE video, I saw so many people being like, oh, first Jig GTV L. You know,
yeah, and I got tagged heavily for my video.
Yeah, and I was like, but I know that I'm right because I've seen the information on ICE and how they were bringing the graphite spyware is being used for ICE. And they rebranded it and called it Immigration OS, the same Israeli technology they're using now on American citizens.
It's like testing ground. Like you said, they're using Gaza's testing ground.
Gaza ICE is a laboratory. That's what, and they use that doctrine to now use it on American citizens. So that's where I was going with they were mapping out the area. They're mapping out these cities, and the cities that you've seen where these ICE things are happening, they're testing out that same software, mapping it all out so that they can track American citizens to consider who's a domestic terrorist. And we know, like through Edward Snowden, he was even talking about after 9/11 happened, that through the Patriot Act, they were able to, you know, spy on all of our phones under the guise of national security. Mm-hmm. When the truth is, they're actually like they're not protecting our nation's security. No. They're actually just spying on American citizens, trying to keep us under control. So this eventual Agenda 2030, when we're all going to lose our private property rights, at least that's their goal.
And that's soon.
They will have as
that's
many.
Really
it's
soon.
Very soon.
Four
and,
years.
And that's why I'm fired up about talking about
same.
These things because it's
I
like
don't
this
think
shit's
you realize
coming
how serious
soon.
This is. And yeah. Edward Snowden, fucking patriot, he still had to flee and can't come back to America. No one's pardoned him.
Yeah.
I should try to interview him.
Yeah.
See if he has open DMs on Twitter. That'd be amazing to get Snowden. Such a patriot right there.
100%.
He sacrificed everything to expose the truth.
Yeah. And they had this software called Pegasus that they were using. Israeli spyware that can literally go into your phone and see everything that you're doing, all of your messages. And they still have that. So. Yeah.
And they put it on American officials' phones.
Right.
This is Israel. They've also let the cartels use it down in Mexico.
Yeah. And I think everybody started noticing just like 8 years ago, before people were talking about like who controls this, they were noticing when you were talking on your phones that like you'll talk about goldfish. And then like next thing you know, there's a goldfish feed that's like being promoted to you.
I think everyone's had that happen where you're talking about something and you know you didn't type it in and it comes up.
Yeah.
First couple times I was just tripping. And then then I started paying attention. Did I say this?
Yeah.
And I know I didn't, because if you type it in the phone, that's one thing.
Yes.
Search. But if you don't type something in, that's when it weirds me out.
Yeah. And that's the slow drip that they've done to us to like slowly
so
but surely you get used to it.
Yeah,
you know,
we all kind of know that happens now.
Yeah.
For a while, we've known that, like you said.
Yeah. And people just accept that, you know, like that should have already been a red flag. But they slowly take you down these levels of like now you're 100% controlled and monitored. But like, who cares? It was over a long enough time that it's like.
You know, trading freedom for safety.
Yeah.
That's what COVID they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like for your safety, you're doing it. It's like, no, we can all judge our own safety.
Right.
It's for if I don't want to get it, I can stay home. I have that option. But tell whole society they have to.
Yeah.
And to close down your business, wipe out, destroy your business. I know friends that lost their business. You know, I know someone killed himself. Other people got addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
It was like a hard time for a lot of people.
100%.
It was a hard time for me. I had stopped fighting. I had no work going on. Oh, you have to sit around your house. I have a lot of energy. I can't fucking sit still and do nothing.
Yeah, same. And that's what they want. They want to get rid of our own like body autonomy to be able to like turn us into some transhumanists. And that's their agenda. They don't want us to be like normal humans. They want to give us Epstein's DNA and like poison us because eventually I think they knew this was all coming, that we were going to have a great awakening and they needed to poison us and to bring us down,
weaken us,
turn us docile so that we're all weak and we can't fight back. And this slow drip has all been a part of this. And you see, you know, kids nowadays have like a 300 level testosterone. And back in the day, it was like if you had less than 600, okay, you have an issue. Now kids these days aren't going through full puberties. There's something in our water. There's something in our skies. There's something in our food.
The frogs gay with the water.
They are.
Alex Jones was right.
He was right.
And he was right.
Go look up atrazine. There's literally
That's
scientists.
Crazy. I saw he was right. I always liked him, but I laughed him at that. Then I'm like, holy shit, Alex was right.
He was right. You go look at there's scientists who've done like experiments with atrazine, and they can literally, they've taken frogs and they've added atrazine to the water, and these male frogs will grow ovaries. This is not a joke.
Yeah, no, people can look this up.
Yep.
I think they're also trying to turn kids both gay and trans, both culturally and maybe through stuff in the water.
Exactly.
There's been this huge culture push. They don't want us having children.
Yep.
They don't want us, like, that's the family. That's what I have no hatred towards gay people, but it's not a positive thing.
No.
It shouldn't be celebrated. You don't need to run in the streets and be like, I'm gay or trans.
Yeah.
It's like, that should be like kept in the closet. If someone has a sexual kink, they don't run around being like, oh, I do BDSM.
Right.
I want to teach it to your children. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't need a gay dude dressed as a woman to read books to my kids.
Right.
Get the fuck
the
out of
here.
The
drag queen story hour.
Yeah.
It was
I'm
disgusting.
Not the get that fucking creep away from my kids.
Right. And I think that they were definitely like pushing the Antifa, this anti-fascism that would go and like stand in front of these schools that were having drag queen story hour, and they would like protect the schools wearing their like costumes.
If someone criticized it, they would attack them, like arrest them, charge them with hate crime.
Yeah. And what is Antifa? It means you're being an anti-fascist.
Yeah,
so you're a fascist if you're against transgenderism and like that being pushed on your children.
Well, it kind of makes sense because the first Antifa was to fight the Nazis. The Nazis burned down the trans clinic.
Yep.
So there is a little bit of
Yeah. Well, I mean, the books that were burned were child pornography and transgenderism.
They didn't teach us that in school.
They didn't.
Right?
They told us that it was educational books.
Yeah. And then you're like,
education on what? On subverting a society to chop off their dicks and take puberty blockers? Like,
no, it's like weird looking at World War II. You know, like, not even supposed to talk about that.
Magnus Hirschfeld.
Magnus Hirschfeld. You're not even supposed to talk about this.
Like, he was the one who was pushing transgenderism.
Germany? Why were they mad? When they lost World War I, you know, that painter, he believed that it was a certain group that caused them to lose the war. That they were going to win the war, and they sabotaged them and caused them to lose.
Right.
Also, World War I was funded, Germany and America, two brothers were funding this war. I mentioned Warburg earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, I don't remember the brother's name, was in charge of the... So why are two brothers why are two brothers tied to the Rothschilds funding this war, killing millions, tens of millions of goy?
Yep.
Mostly white men in World War I.
All for their greater Israel project, all to fulfill their prophecy of creating this third temple that will usher in the synagogue of Satan, that will have total control over the rest of the world. And that's what they do through interest rates, usury, all these different tropes that they say is anti-Semitic to notice. How is noticing anti-Semitic?
Yeah, you're just noticing like, patterns because they don't like it. You know?
Hey guys, I want to introduce you to one of our sponsors, Antelope Hill Publishing. Antelope Hill publishes books such as Culture of Critique by Dr. Kevin McDonald, who's someone I've interviewed on my show. He talks about the evolutionary strategy of the chosen people. So go to antelopehillpublishing.com and use promo code FIGHTBACK to support the podcast and get a discount. That's antelopehillpublishing.com and promo code FIGHTBACK. Hey guys, I'm demonetized everywhere. So if you want to support me and the podcast, go to fightbackpodcast.com and you can buy some cool merch like the shirt I'm wearing now.
Back to that painter.
Yeah.
He got rid of usury.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only guy to ever arrest a Rothschild.
Yeah.
The war started right after that.
Right.
Coincidence? Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I think they wanted their usury. And what happened to the German economy became the fastest recovery in world history. Went from absolute depression to completely booming. Everyone had a job. He had the highest approval rating probably of any world leader.
Wow.
Gave free homes away. If you had a first zero interest, a married couple would get a house, zero interest. First child, quarter gone. Second child, quarter gone. Third child, quarter of the house, probably gone. If you have four children, you get a free home.
Yeah, free homes. And that's,
you know, I was never taught this. Were you taught that?
No. Why should you? No, of course I wasn't taught this. I had to learn it on my own.
Through, doesn't mean it's the best man in the world, but we should have this knowledge. We should be able to see both sides.
Yeah.
But we can't.
I learned this on Rumble when it was a Europa, the last battle. Right. And you see how the Rothschilds
were. I have to bleep you out saying that title. So
oh, really?
For saying, actually, I said the greatest story never told. I had to bleep that too. I got a strike.
You're kidding. For saying those words?
I was with a Gypsy Crusader, and I was talking to him about that film for saying it. They said it was hate speech.
You're kidding me.
So you can't even go watch a documentary. And the first time, a friend actually recommended me watch that like 8, 9, 10 years ago maybe. And I was almost mad when I first watched it. Like, oh, I'm going to fucking prove this guy wrong.
Yeah.
So I started looking up stuff, and I couldn't prove him wrong.
Right.
And it's just like, I wasn't ready for it, so I just, like, buried it in my brain. I'm like, I'm just going to, like, bury this, you know, and try to stuff it around. But it kept, like, coming back out, and I kept trying to push it down.
Same.
Because you're like, oh, shit, I shouldn't know this.
Yeah, right?
I don't want to know this stuff.
Yeah, and it doesn't take, like, a super intelligent person. Like, once you have that information, it makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
And they want us to be so confused that, like, oh, politics is so much more complicated and you don't understand the history of the world, and they subvert people through all the education. Like, I hated history class in school, man.
The Robert Maxwell history version.
Yeah. I hated history class.
Holocaust and slavery.
Yeah. And it makes sense why I detested it, because you find out later that it was all just lies, all written by Robert Maxwell.
Literally.
Ghislaine's dad.
Literally. Look this up, people.
Publishing all of our history books and our educational books all to teach us the same things, forcing us to read Anne Frank and realizing that it was written with a ballpoint pen,
which
didn't come
in circulation
out
at the time. They were not in circulation at the time the novel, obviously she wrote it, but
yeah,
ballpoint pens were not in circulation when she was in the attic, and it was written mostly in a ballpoint pen. And the weird perversions they had in it.
Yeah.
I believe there was a lawsuit between her dad and another Jewish gentleman who some of these antiseptic people speculate that he wrote the book.
The dad, Otto. His name was Otto.
Yeah, Otto, and there was someone else, I think, wrote it. I can't remember the guy's name, but the father was obviously involved.
Right, and, And
why would he add weird sexual perversions in there?
Who knows, man?
And she died of typhus, I believe, right?
Yeah,
I
believe so.
That Anne Frank died of typhus, not, like, murdered.
Yeah, which most of them did. That's how they had died,
Well, they had, like, the jack-off machines and the have you read some of the things they say they died from? Where they drop them into fire? Just insane.
Yeah, stuff. It was Steven Spielberg's movie.
Based off a novel.
Yeah, and you know, the people who were in that were even saying, like, oh, it came from my imagination.
Yeah,
like they were turning everybody into lampshades, like they did with one of my anchors,
really,
Jackie.
Like, I want, like, a Ben Shapiro lamp.
Yeah, I know, right?
Or a Mark Levin. Well, those might be collector's items.
Yeah. Yeah, but I went to the Holocaust Museum when I was a kid, and, like, I remember seeing all of the shoes, and, like, I remember crying as a kid, and it was
and it was pushed so heavily into
us.
So we wouldn't want to question it.
Yeah.
I interviewed a guy, Germer Rudolph. I don't understand his name correctly. He was German. He was a chemist. He was going through some chemical studies, and he started believing that certain things they alleged he didn't believe were chemically possible. So he went and testified for someone who was on trial, because it's legal to question this in Germany.
Yes,
he went to testify to give his chemical breakdown, and he was arrested and did 4 years in prison. He couldn't put a defense forwards because, again, that was legal to put your defense forwards, because that is Holocaust denial.
That's wild.
But he wouldn't recant it, so he served 4 years in prison because he refused to recant what he did. And I remember asking him, did chemists privately tell you he agreed? He's like, almost all of them. Fuck them, you know. They all would privately tell me they agree and I'm brave.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't publicly say anything. Just
that's
cowardice.
Wild.
He's I just couldn't stay quiet, and what I knew was chemically impossible. And I asked a couple of different AI systems to break this down for me. I said, without anti-Semitism, without historical this, strictly from a chemist's standpoint, can you break this down for me? And they all said it held up.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, they'd be like, but it can't be, because scientifically, this looks like it would hold up. But
yes.
Even when you tell them not that, but it can't, because...
And can you believe that the people who tell you to trust the science nowadays are the most retarded people out there? Like, what does trust the science means? It means trust the institutions and don't read anything for yourself.
Yeah.
Because what an indication of a godless society when the truth is the most demonized thing.
Yeah, they rarely silence you for speaking the truth. For speaking false things. Silence you for speaking the truth.
Yeah, and I think that's a big sign of intelligence, is being able to be curious enough to say, I can change my opinion through new information.
Yes.
And I think just most people aren't curious enough to be informed with new ideas because they want to be a part of the group think. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this huge push to be like, oh, I don't want to be ostracized from my group.
Yes.
And
no,
I think that's what's like the similarities between all of us, is we're not scared to be ostracized for telling the truth.
And a lot of times you won't be, at least for me. I would always say things I wasn't supposed to, and I was never ostracized.
Yeah.
Maybe because people just accepted that I was different and was just going to always not follow whatever the order was supposed to be.
But at the same time, you've had people in your life who were like, oh, this guy's crazy.
Yeah, but most people, I think, that know me, anyone close to me, like, trust me and know I have good judgment. Even when I first started speaking about these other things, the first people were reluctant, but they're like, they know I have a pattern of getting things right ahead of time.
Yeah.
I convinced quite a few people.
Right.
Well, I was right about COVID. I was right about, like, lots of things.
Same. Yeah, it was one of the first things I started talking about on my YouTube was like the Maui fires. And
I haven't looked into those. I need to. That's
And we saw these anomalies where all of the blue cars were like not being burned, and like the blue, you know, umbrellas that were out there weren't being burned. Yeah,
the color blue,
anything that was a color blue. Yeah. And you saw that Oprah, she lived out there, and her entire roof was painted blue.
I have not heard this.
No,
this
is... you haven't?
This is crazy.
Right. And so, you know, I looked into it and I was like, okay, well, if they were using some type of like direct energy weapon, mm-hmm. which they do have a facility for direct energy weapons in Maui. There's actually two facilities, one in Maui and one in Las Vegas.
Oh my God. You know, Vegas, do you know the guy who was the head of the police during the Vegas shooting? Was it police chief or police or whatever it was also the head in Maui.
Wow. Yep. Yes.
Like,
yes.
How is that? He's the first non-Hawaiian to have that job.
Exactly.
And they switched him from Vegas after the Vegas shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost, you could speculate that maybe he was placed there to run this cover up and then placed there. Now, I don't know. I don't know enough about either one of those situations.
Right.
But that is something that we should look into.
It's kind of a smoking gun. But I think one of the biggest things is to look at the science of like what was happening there. And you look into like glass melting temperatures, and I believe it's a 1400 to 1600 degrees Celsius, where it's like a natural wildfire won't get to that. And even if it is some type of liquid propellant, like a gasoline or something like that, it would have a short burst, but it wouldn't stay like that. So you see the way that this glass was dripping, and it was like some type of super heavy heat was being pushed on this to basically melt it. And you talk to people who are like glass experts who do like fire blowing or glass torching.
Yeah, people, the experts understand it.
Exactly.
I always go to the experts.
Exactly. And they would tell you like, yeah, it would take a very, very concentrated heat to be able to do this. And my dad, he's a fire chief. He was a retired fire chief. He, and now he sells rescue tools. So he's seen thousands and thousands of cars. He sells the jaws of life, the tools that can cut people out of cars.
Wow.
And I talked to him about this, and he's like, yeah, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, and he's seen lots of fires.
Lots, yeah.
That's what he's done for most of his life.
Yeah.
No, these are the people that I want to talk to, because I don't know anything about fire. I can't I can't give opinions on this, but I trust people like your dad and other people, the glassblowers, people that have seen it and been around it.
Exactly. And then you talk to some of the arborists who are looking at, like, the trees weren't melting. The trees weren't on fire. Like, the trees were okay because it had water in it. So it was, like, it was propelling against this whatever this energy was that was being hit with this.
Well,
and you see people
so quick,
in
the, right? It just blazed
through. And, you know, the police blockaded these cars in so they couldn't leave.
Is that why they got stuck?
And so there were tons of people who got stuck in their cars.
How did they blockade cars in? What the hell?
Yep. And there was, like, stories of people who, like, they cut the chains and they got through. Wow. And those were the people who survived. But the people who were in their cars listening to the police.
So more would have even died if they would have listened.
Yeah. So if you listened to the police and they said, oh, you can't come through, and you just sat there hoping to wait.
The fires came and blazed them.
And they were charred in their cars. Literally, like, people were charred in their cars to the point to where even bone material was completely obliterated. So they couldn't even find a trace of these people's bones.
Yeah.
And so I saw this happening, and this was when I started to put out I changed my Instagram from a personal Instagram, and I'm like, I don't care how this sounds. Yeah. I'm going to take what these people are talking about, and I'm going to speak out against this. Because I would see there was like 2-hour videos of them at like the community center speaking out to the politicians there saying, like, you know, my dog was literally charred in my backyard and these families were completely killed. And, you know, his son was in this car and he was dead, and it gets like 600 views.
Yes,
and it's
no
like
two
hours.
Poor quality and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So I increased the audio, I captioned it, and I added a little bit of music. Mm-hmm. And this was my first like 10 videos that hit over a million views on my Instagram, and took me from like, you know, 800 followers from just my friends to like I hit 30K. And, you know, this was, I had already started my YouTube, but I wasn't ready to like show all my friends. I didn't want to scare people too much.
No,
but
it took me a while to start posting things on my Instagram too, because you're like, okay, I'm doing this stuff, talking about like Twitter and stuff, but do I want to like Instagram's for my private personal stuff?
Exactly.
Like, you know what? I got to start sharing my opinions everywhere.
Yeah. And so I was just at the point to where I was like, here's the evidence. If you guys think I'm crazy, I don't care. Because I care about innocent people being hurt, and I care about people who don't have a voice. And if I can be a voice for other people, I'm going to do that. I will die on this hill.
Exactly. You know? We have to wake people up. And it's like, if you do have respect and stuff in community, you're way more likely to be able to wake people up.
Exactly.
And start trusting your judgment and you're adamant about something. I have so many people, thousands of Twitter, and said, I'd apologize. First off, I don't care. You don't know what they said for like being mad at you or whatever I said. I don't know. Mostly people said, I'm just happy they've now came along and be like,
right,
I was mad at you, but you just like kept going.
Exactly.
Started slowly looking at things. And you just, and some people weren't mad at me. They'd just be like, oh, you know, I just, first I was like, oh, I wonder what Jake's going off. But you just like kept at it. So I figured, I should look into this.
Exactly. That was the thing. It was like, cause every time I'd post something, I'd be like, okay, well, this person doesn't believe me about that thing. That's okay. I'm going to keep talking about this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into the science behind these like trillion watt lasers, what they have the possibility to do. I looked into different like people's narratives, like this one computer scientist who basically like he analyzed exactly like the temperature of what these trillion watt lasers are, the facilities that are creating these trillion watt satellites are doing, and like you see that the only way that you could create these fires was through this. And then you listen to the people there, and they were saying that the wind was coming from like the opposite direction of what a normal wildfire would happen.
Because that's what they blamed them, right? They say the wind.
It was a hurricane.
Is that how they tried saying?
Yeah, they said it was the wind damaged all of it.
They just whipped through, right?
Yeah.
I haven't, like, there's too many things to look in, so I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you miss some big stories sometimes because there's just too much shit to pay attention to.
So much.
And you get busy in life.
Yeah.
We should maybe do a whole podcast on this at some point. Like
right.
A deep dive on this.
For
actually,
sure.
Because
yeah.
I haven't.
I've made like six documentaries on it.
I haven't gone into this. Let's do that. Let's do another podcast
let's
at
do
some
it.
Point. Like a full like hour and a half, 2 hours
yeah.
and just focus on these fires. Because this is
exactly.
a subject that I am naive to.
And I had known for years that they were trying to push climate change and that they were trying to tell us that like, oh, hurricanes and disasters and wildfires are going to start hitting everybody, and they're predicting this, and the sea levels are rising. And then you look
they're
into
all
like
buying, all the people are saying that they're buying homes on the ocean.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they're flying private jets.
And you look like 100 years back, and there's this one place, it's called Plymouth Rock, where it's like sitting at sea level.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed in hundreds of years.
I never had a strong opinion on climate change either way, but after COVID, I looked. It's all the same people that are pushing COVID are pushing climate change.
Exactly.
So, and I have a big environment. So
exactly.
I think they are destroying the environment. But
right.
The things they push for climate change aren't anything that would help the environment.
That's what I'm saying.
It's things that give them power.
Yes.
So they're not trying to be like, hey, let's clean our water.
Right.
Let's clean the rivers. Let's cut less trees.
Right.
Let's pollute the ocean less. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about this. They just talk about giving control.
That's what started me on this. And did you see Bill Gates is basically saying that I don't plant trees. Trees are bad for the environment now.
Oh my God.
He actually, that's his opinion.
He's like a supervillain.
It's like just the worst lies that you could ever tell anybody. Like, I thought we were supposed to be planting trees, but he's now pushing against that. I was like, okay, this guy's obviously a liar. He wants to take down the rainforest and put solar panels everywhere so the entire world can be basically controlled by a grid and some electrical program that's going to create digital ID. And, you know, back to the ice thing was like, okay, they're basically, you know, Trump wants to take Greenland. Well, why does he want to take Greenland? Because, well, it's a cold enough climate that they can create their data centers there.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and that data.
Oh, there's massive data centers for all this.
And Trump
Elon Musk's grandfather was a technocrat. He was one of the main guys that pushed this, like, what was it, 80 years? I don't know exact years, but a long time ago, pushing to take Greenland.
Yeah.
They called him the technocrat.
Yes.
I think
yes.
he had to, like, flee Canada because he was causing too much problems. And it was Greenland. It was all these things Trumps are doing.
Yep.
Kind of weird.
Yeah. And guess what? Speaking of the Dome of the Rock, Trump basically came out in a statement saying that he's going to take a piece of the Dome of the Rock and put it in Greenland. Like, what does that even mean?
I have no idea. That's
you know, because bizarre. The Dome of the Rock is supposed to be where they're going to build the third temple. Mm-hmm. So now he's saying that a piece of Greenland is now going to be used to build a piece of the Dome of the Rock. So he's basically saying that's going to be the control center. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying
yeah.
here?
Oh,
is that this is going to be the control center. Center that's going to be used for the data centers.
Control, and this is where they're going to run right. things from the world.
And if you look into Greenland, all of the underground sea cables run through Greenland. And so basically in Europe, you know, all of these, you know, they say that it's all satellites, but we've mm-hmm. got all these underground sea cables. And apparently if you cut these sea cables, then we don't have a strong connection to these other mm-hmm. countries.
Interesting.
And so that is the main hub of where it all goes to. So
that's and they want to take Greenland.
Exactly. And they're telling us that it's just
it was oil maybe or something.
They're saying it's rare earth minerals. You know, yeah. but the truth is that's the perfect climate to create their data yeah. centers.
Well, the rare earth minerals is interesting. You mentioned that because we're acting like
which there are.
We're acting like we're going to go to war with China and stuff.
Yeah,
we get almost all of our rare earth minerals from China, which that's a lot of our military systems. They use those. Also,
right.
we get most of our pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
So when Trump's all like, oh, "I'm going to cut off trade to China," it's like you're a moron. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't make our pharmaceuticals there. Maybe we should find another place to get
right.
these things. But when you're trying to bluff with China. He's trying to be like, they can't take the – he put a blockade on top of the blockade. What a – that's not 5D chess. Like, you're a moron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
And China just goes like, no, and drove their chips right through.
Yeah, it's wild. It's
really
yeah.
been embarrassing for America, you know.
It has
I love my
been,
country, but it's
you know?
Been an embarrassing time.
Yeah, and basically, how is Trump even getting away with this? And going back to, like, how can you still support this? It's you have to really accept all of these fake narratives
yeah.
that he's going to take it for rare earth minerals and, like, all of this bullshit and that he's going to create the third temple so that, you know, that Jesus Christ can eventually come back. And this is why mm-hmm. Christians should love that. But it's like he's going to have to create a Jewish world order in order for – you know, the Antichrist to come.
Yeah.
And so that Jesus will eventually save us from that beast
yeah.
system that's being created. And people are making this jump like, oh, I'll take the beast system because Christ is coming. It's
yeah,
like ridiculous.
Yeah.
And this is where
the
Chabad movement probably
yeah.
money launders all of their money into our like Christian Zionist organizations.
Yeah.
And
they seem like they're definitely like a mafia. And you get guys like Rabbi Shmuley was in Chabad. He's a complete clown, but all the world leaders, the Dalai Lama, RFK,
yes.
All kinds of these people have to go bow in front of him.
Yeah.
I think he gets his power obviously through something.
Something.
He's a moron.
They
you
absolutely
see that
have
guy and be like, oh, I better go bow in front of Rabbi Shmuley.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they probably have billions and billions, if not trillions, in assets. And they're able to use that to control governments and funding.
I think they get like some of the blackmail. I don't
right.
know a lot about this, but the guest I had on the other day was talking about how Chabad was originally a couple hundred years ago they were created. And before Theodore Herzl and
18th
Zionism,
century, yeah.
they were planning all this out. So
mm-hmm.
it wasn't him. They
yeah.
were putting these colonies there. They were being funded. They were getting the mm-hmm. roots there. And then he was probably just used just like a face.
It's nothing new, man. It's nothing new. And mm-hmm. you know, like the Balfour Declaration was the contract that basically Britain had said, okay, we're going to give Palestine
yep.
to Israel and created this whole thing. And the creator, what's his name?
Was it one of the Rothschilds?
No. The guy who founded Zionism.
Oh, Theodore Herzl, right?
Yeah, Theodore Herzl. Yeah. yeah. And he was, you know, he even publicly stated that he's not like a practicing Jew. He's like an atheist
or demonologist.
Yeah. So
well, it's interesting. The Balfour Declaration, they gave him Palestine if they could bring America into the war. Why could these Jewish bankers bring America into the war?
Right.
That's a question we should
through
all
be blackmail
asking.
And control and, you
yeah,
know, the Federal
World
Reserve.
And World War II were not popular in America when they happened, but yet they were both pushed in. Like, we're on the opposite side of the world. Like, why? Most people don't even know why World War I was fought. I don't. Do you remember in history when they explained it to you? It'd be like, well, this guy was shot and then they started fighting and you're just kind of like, huh? What are you talking about?
Yeah. They confused the shit out of me about World War One
yeah.
just growing
World,
up.
Yeah. World War II, they tell you Hitler was the most evil man ever.
Exactly.
And he was trying to take over the take
and he
over
was
the
trying
world.
To take over the whole world. Yeah. yeah. Which is exactly what they're doing.
He was taking some of the land back that was taken from him during
yeah.
World War One. And they say it could be, oh, well, because he invaded Poland. He took part of Poland that was Germany. Soviet Union
right.
also invaded Poland. So we sided with Soviet Union, gave them weapons, and attacked him when they both invaded the same land.
Right.
How does that make any sense?
It really doesn't.
And who do you think put peace proposals forward? Do you think it was Hitler or do you think it was America and England?
Well, I think it was the painter. I mean, he was talking about how he didn't want to bomb Paris. You know, he was very careful about what he was doing. He was trying to create these peace agreements, but they literally came and just carpet bombed his people. Mm-hmm. And it was disgusting. Like, you know, we all hear in history that Winston Churchill was like this great this great man of peace who ended mm-hmm. the war. And I may get shit on this from people who are really into that history, but I believe that he was literally the ones putting the order in to yeah. carpet bomb these people, literally just laid bombs Dresden. Across them so awesome. That they were forced to retaliate, very similar to what's going on with Iran right now.
Yeah, and they just bomb them. They create the war.
And I'm sure
he wouldn't talk any peace deals. And right. also the things we're always taught, oh, we're morally good. Then you look at Dresden where we bombed, killing hundreds of thousands. We
right.
even, the Russians raped like every German woman, 8
right.
to 80. Look at Japan. We firebombed the whole cities before nuking the
right.
Christian cities in Japan.
Right. And if you look into like the top five countries that America funds, the number one is Israel. And mm-hmm. what country has basically given us zero support for any of our troops?
Not one troop have they ever sent in a war.
No,
not
so
one.
So we're sending all of our money over to them, and yet they're not even willing to help us with anything. It's like we're giving the most to them, and they're giving us the least. And they consider themselves the most moral army yeah. while they're literally starving children. Basically, you know, they try and get yeah. aid at these food spots, and they're just being sniped as they're
just,
like
the
running
Hunger
through.
Game. People that have been there, you
it's
know,
Hunger
some
Games.
Guys have came forward and said they were disgusted by what was happening, where people are children trying to get food, and they're shooting them, laughing. It's
yeah.
just pure evil. If you're not calling that out, you're a pussy-ass bitch.
Right. And there were videos coming out of literally these soldiers, and he was videoing inside of his crosshairs. And you could see that he's just like pointing at this mm-hmm. soccer field of children, fires it off.
And there's so many videos. These
how
IDF
can I get that out of my head?
Openly talking about this, how they love it and enjoyment. And we see this. It's sick. It's like we have to speak against it.
And that's what they say, is that they have to kill the children because those children will eventually grow up to become mm-hmm. Hamas terrorists.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder why they'll be terrorists, because you killed their parents.
Exactly.
Okay, one or two more things before we wrap. You were saying you believed a lot of the, when we were driving over here, a lot of the space, like NASA and stuff, was like money laundering?
Yeah, I definitely do.
That does make sense, but tell me a little more.
Well, basically, if you look into like NASA and how they were funded and founded, one of the big guys there, the guy who created the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, have you heard of him? Jack Parsons?
Yes.
Yeah, Jack Parsons, he was a part of this occultist, basically these people who worship like numerology, gematria, yeah. which is, you know, and he worked
sex magic. I think
sex magic,
too, right?
Correct? Yeah, and he was
this is the guy that was the top. He was look this up.
He
Jack
was
Parsons.
Yeah, and he was one of the mentor. He was mentored by Aleister Crowley, mm-hmm. who happened to be one of the largest Satanists.
Yeah,
and he worked alongside L. Ron Hubbard, who created.
Well, I didn't know he had ties to L. Ron Hubbard. The
yeah, they were friends.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
interesting.
And they were friends, and so they were doing sex magic rituals where they were trying to usher in what they call a moon child. And this was in Pasadena. And you could look all of this up.
Yeah,
all
no,
these
people
were into LSD and doing these weird sex magic rituals. And so that's just one of the origins of it, it comes from these people who basically mm-hmm. just like hate God. And they're using this to basically have us worship the stars, which mm-hmm. is very similar to what Lucifer said in the Bible, what he yeah. wanted to do is his greatest sin was that he wanted to be above God's throne in the stars. Mm. And so
it looked bigger than God.
Exactly.
So
he wanted to
be
above God. And so I think a whole part of all of this space stuff is to basically get us to be like, well, trust the experts because we know all this stuff about stars and we're pushing humanity to its next level and eventually mm-hmm. going to be putting civilizations on Mars and that we have too much population here and that, you know, we need another place. And so, you know, you just see all of these billionaires, as soon as they have all this money, they start to create these space programs. Mm-hmm. And then you see all of the stuff from these space programs. It's all like CGI.
That's interesting.
It's
yeah.
all this bullshit. And, you know, you see the rocket launches, they always end up going into the ocean. They always take mm-hmm. that side trajectory. And they tell us that they're firing. It's just, to me, it's a big money laundering program.
Yeah.
And it's a way to take the people's money and for us to rally for something that's not going to give American humans as a whole anything positive.
We take a lot of money for that too.
Yeah.
And just ridiculous things like, you know, we taped over the first tapes of the moon landing. We can't go back there now. We don't have the technology. It's like, right. We don't have the technology now. Like,
yeah.
And you look at that thing.
It looked like an aluminum.
It was like aluminum.
Like an aluminum popcorn bag, you know, those things that
flags waving in the wind when there's no wind on the moon. It's like, yes. I don't know. Just there's things.
It's just we've been lied to.
I always thought it was ridiculous. Most people that questioned it. Then I started looking into it. Then I actually look at things. You know, I had a guest on. He's bringing these things up. And I'm like, okay, I'll go look at this stuff.
Right.
You know, instead of calling you crazy, I'll go look it up.
Right.
I looked it up. And I was like, everything he said was true.
That's what I'm saying, man. So I don't know. I think that they want us to believe that they have this esoteric hidden knowledge that you can only obtain if you're part of this secret society elite. And it's just you look into the way it was founded and it just seems like too much bullshit to me. I don't think there's any way that we could believe this. And then you see all these, you know, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, and they're all creating these space programs and they're just these brilliant geniuses. But to me, it just looks like a secret society and a way for them to money launder our
funds.
That
they could get that. No, that's interesting. I don't know enough about it, but it is. Elon Musk runs like 6 or 8 companies. Like that seems a little suspicious to me. You're running Tesla, you're running SpaceX, you're running, and a lot of them get all these government contracts too.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like these are the same people who teach us about like the Big Bang. And that, like, God is not real.
Okay. There was nothing that turned into everything.
Exactly.
Back in nothing, it blew up and became everything.
Yeah.
Couldn't that also be like God? That just doesn't make... And they say they're so sure of it. How would they know? And they tell you the amount of years. Okay,
right.
What is this based off? Well, the experts say.
Yeah.
What? Tell me an expert that tells me, like, how there is nothing and then exploded into everything.
Yeah. I think it's a big way to push us to basically think that they know what God is better than we do, and that if you understand the science, then they can disprove God. And I think that's the whole point of all of this. And like you look into CERN, the particle collider, and they consider that they are basically trying to find the God particle.
What are they doing with CERN? Is that giant?
It's a particle collider.
Particles.
And they smash the particles together, and they say by doing that, they can create dark matter. But what I really believe they're doing is they're trying to push us into different timelines, and they're trying to
do different dimensions. They're doing something weird. I don't like it.
It's dark, and so I don't want to go too.
They had a ceremony of it when the people were all dressed demonic.
Yes.
That up.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a bunch of guys in robes sitting in front of Shiva, and they go and literally just stab the chick and stab her, and the guy films it. And, you know, they came out publicly. You can look this up right now on Twitter and say, oh, what was up with that? And they'll tell you community notes. Oh, that was a prank. Who were they pranking?
Yeah, like, why are these elites? And they're doing sacrifice of, like, Moloch. And, like, you look at the Olympic ceremonies, all this demonic stuff.
Right.
These are the most powerful people. The CERN thing, like, why are they doing weird stuff like that?
In front of deities, too. It's like, I don't know.
They believe it.
Yeah.
We cannot believe it, but they believe it.
Yeah. I mean, I was very into Hinduism. My grandma was into Buddhism, and like I've got Hinduism tattooed on my body. But like, you see what they're doing with that, and there's like there is a God, and they are trying to disprove it completely. They want us to think that we are just specks of dust or just you know cells.
You're
you
a
know?
Clump of cells.
A clump of cells. Yeah.
Like I think I believe in sort of evolution. I think we'll slightly adapt to our environment, but I don't think I'll ever turn into a fish.
Right.
I don't think I could just start breathing water and decide to start swimming one day. And that's what they teach in evolution.
Yeah.
They'll be like, it was a cell, and then where did the cell jump from a cell to single cell to consciousness? Where did it become a creature? How did it – okay, you say a fish, then it just started walking?
Right.
How did it start breathing air? How did you grow wings? I'm just going to start flying one day?
Right.
So I'm going to adapt where I'm going to start growing wings. Like, no, that's like.
Yeah, it's weird, man. And I believe that we have souls.
Slightly adapt, I think. Yeah.
Well, and I think that they want us to think.
The goyim don't.
Like, if you have a spirit inside of you, like, I believe that we are much more than our bodies. We are much more than this flesh. And I have a mind of reasoning because I believe that I came from God. And so I would never let these Satanists tell me otherwise. And that's my take on that.
No, you realize. They hate God. And I remember when I was a teenager, I read a couple of atheist books. I started believing the bullshit.
Yeah.
Recently, I realized they were all written by the same group.
Yes.
They don't talk about that religion.
No.
And then they're in the Epstein files, these same people.
Yes.
These Sam Harris's. You realize like how they want to make you not believe God, but then you go in the most beautiful churches, the most beautiful mosque. These buildings are just complete beauty they're built with.
Right.
They want us not to believe it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I agree.
Well, shit, anything else before we wrap?
I think I'm good here, yeah.
Yeah, I think we went for a while.
Yeah.
Jake GTV.
Yeah, Jake
on
GTV.
Everything.
Yeah,
I find me on. I recommend you guys check his stuff out.
Cool, yeah. Find me at Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Check out my shop, jakegtv.com.
Great, and yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, great stuff.
And we'll, I want to do that Maui fire thing soon.
Oh, yeah, let's definitely do that.
As many of you know, I have many controversial guests, so that comes at a cost of being demonetized everywhere. So if you want to support the program, go to fightbackpodcast.com, and I have all kinds of merch on there, whether it's jujitsu, fighting, political, and other accessories. And thanks for the support.